talk about something, we look at somebody that's standing up here, don't look at that. Because the reality is that we're looking at what that is right up there. We think we've got nail prints in our hands, we think we've got scars, but only Jesus' blood paid for the scars that we have. And I'm thankful to be a part of your fellowship here tonight. And what brought us all together was backed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, we would not K-N-O-W each other. K-N-O-W. What are the last three letters of that word? Now. And now that we got together, I'd like to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. And I'm going to have my wife read from the book of James, chapter 5. Go ahead, sweetheart. This is my wife, Eileen. You remember her name? Lift one leg up the other, and you lean as Eileen.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Thank you, honey. Do we know what power is? Anybody describe what power is in their life? To me, it's a four-letter word. It's prayer. And that's the power in prayer that came into my life. I was born on a special day, Armistice Day, 1940, in a blizzard. Today it's called Veterans Day. Many of us have special days in our lives, and several times in my life, holidays took over. It was Thanksgiving time in 1974. I had two heart attacks, 71 and 72, a week apart. Doing what I was supposed to be doing is working. But the attacks, I went to the emergency room and nothing showed up. They didn't think I had anything that had happened. 3 years later, I went to buy a business building and get it remodeled and pay for the mortgage, and I wanted mortgage insurance. And they said, well, we're going to have to give you special rating. I said, wonderful. I just must be a big loan. They said, no, you've had two heart attacks. We're going to rate you because we can't know how much longer you're going to live. But as Eileen read, there is a prayer that was taking place that I was unaware of. This affects every one of us sitting in the room. As you look around, how many people do you really know? How many people behind you or to your left or your right or front and back do we know? So what's the common bond each one of us have? It's prayer. So with that, I had that triple bypass surgery in 1974, Thanksgiving time. So Psalm 86:1 says, bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer, and answer me, for I need help. July 4th, 1986, I went over to help my daughter, Coco, clean up a mess that she'd watched some dogs at the neighbor's house. And they had literally eliminated waste on the driveway, so I helped clean it up, July 4th. So I figured I better walk back in the house and wash my hands. So I walked back in, and next thing I know, I'm looking up at nurses and ambulances and drivers, and I said, what are you all doing here? Your daughter said that you needed help. Come to find out what happened, the reason I could even breathe again is when I fell, washing my hands, I hit the edge of a countertop. And right here, it sent my heart back into rhythm. Well, what am I going to do now? I need help. I moved to Arizona in September of 86 to get out of the climate, out to the hot place. And it was hot. You could literally fry eggs on the streets in the summertime in Tucson, Arizona. 2 years later to the day that I got there, I was in the shower getting cleaned up. Next thing I know, my daughter is calling the ambulance again, the same daughter. I had fell over in the shower. And having known that, I purposely went to the ambulance department in Tucson, Arizona, and said, "This is where I live." On the cul-de-sac off of First Avenue, on the hill over, you can see the house from here. Because I knew from previous ambulance calls, if you didn't get the right address, they went to the wrong address. So the ambulance is running up and down First Street. My daughter finally ran out to the intersection and said, "Back here, back here." I'm laying in the hospital in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm laying, and there's a doctor and a nurse, and they look at me and say, "Well, I think you're going to need a transplant." "How many have you done?" I'm going, "Okay, how many?" They said, "Well, you'd probably be the first one." I said, "What criteria are you using?" "Well, you're a type A personality, and we would have that to do because we know you'd be a survivor." I said, "Okay, Father, I need help. I'm going back to Minnesota." Moved back here. Next month, again, I said, "I better call the ambulance company and let them know where I physically live if they don't get the right address." Ironically, I lived on First Street, northwest. I went out for a walk. Next thing I know, the ambulance is there picking me up. They did CPR on me for 20 minutes, and I did not know why. So I asked the ambulance company, "How come you didn't come to the right address?" "Well, we wrote down First Street, Northwest." So my daughter, Coco, was standing out again, the third time flagging an ambulance to come. So Mayo said, "Okay, you're staying here right now. You're not going to get out of this place. You're here." I said, "Okay, I need help. I don't know what to do." They had a monitor on your body physically. So if you went walking through that doorway or that doorway, they knew where you were. But if you went down a hallway, they didn't know where you were. I kind of purposely did that once in a while to get somebody to come after me. Just to see, because I'd been in there for 4 months. 4 months I'd been in there. So they had a place in the corner at about midnight, and it was ironically, after being there that long, the nurse staff would come in and shift changes and say, "How come you're so content?" I said, "Well, February of 1963, on a Sunday night, I went to the altar call because I needed help. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That spiritually changed my heart. I no longer needed to worry about where help would come from, because prayer makes things happen." The night of December 13th, I had walked down in the treadmill, and I'm coming back up to my room. I think it was a Monday night. I can't remember the night. I remember the day and the year. And all of a sudden, I'm going, "I need help again." So as the verse that Eileen just read, "If there's anybody among you that's sick, let them come and pray and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil." Prayer works. 19 years, 6 months later, in July, Eileen had written letters to the family to find out who they were, where they were from, anything about them. And we'd get letters back, and they say, no, we can't let you know who we are. What was that, honey? Well, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So they told us the story 19 years, 6 months later, about what was going on the night of December 13th, 1988. As the elders were there laying hands and praying, the mother and the father were making a decision to donate their son's organs. There were six heart organs that they donated. At that very moment that the men were laying in hands and praying on me, they made a decision to donate the heart. The next morning, December 14th, 1988, I had another change of heart, spiritually and physically. And that's why life is important. That's why a gift of life is important. All life matters. Don't be afraid to stand up for making life matter. You look at all the young kids around here, you look at all them, and you wonder someday what prayers are going to be answered that we're going to pray for those kids. So I woke up the next morning of December 14th, 1988, and it was a challenge because I'm laying there in that bed in a cloister, I called it. There was a room about the size of one of the bathrooms back in there, and they had me all chained up and wired up. And I had made popcorn all those months in the hospital, and that's why the women and the men would come in shift changes. Can you pop some popcorn for us? Well, I found a phone next to my bed. The second rule was broken. Because of Gary Moline, there was no longer a popcorn popper on the fourth floor of the Domitella wing after that time I was there. So I called a friend of mine and said, I'm thirsty, I need some Sprite. So they walked up into the intensive care unit at St. Mary's Hospital and handed me a glass of Sprite, and they said, how did you get here? Well, he called me and said he wanted one. So then the phones went out of the rooms in the transplant unit, another Moline rule. So there's many stories to talk about. I can go on and on and on, but there's one other thing I'd just like to read that God touched my heart with. I've been married to this beautiful woman going on 22 years, and I never knew what a need was until we found out, sharing, that we've been praying for one another for a long time also. But she was only praying for somebody who would live 5 years, because that was the projection at that time. You get past 1 year, maybe two, maybe five. Well, God bless me, now going on 22 years. Her prayer was for five. Now I've got, with you, 22. With my heart going on 32 years. So the story is, the day I can't remember, the year was it 1988. I made a note. The words are, I need help. He heard me. He told me, I am listening. Stop and listen. Stop and listen to me, so I did. The I am made me so. Now I listen. The one spoke from on high. I, the Father, told me so. So now I do. I listen to him. The Bible is the truth, trust. So I believe it is so. Friends, the three are now one in me. Lives in me. Three words matter. We three now are helping each other. The helper, the healer, the Father has come and is helping us to know. Daryl, know. Now. Know now. So no numbers can replace who we are. He is the three in one. Your friend, your helper, and mine too. So don't be afraid to somebody it's going to need prayer. Be thankful that we can help one another, we can pray for one another, because there is somebody right here in this room or in your family that will have a need. Just remember all that He is the provider, the healer, the power, and Jesus is the answer. So don't be afraid to pray, because He said, when you pray, I answer. But then what does He say after that? Like I said before, twice, listen. Because He said, I will speak to you when you open my word. So I'm thankful that you have Bibles all around you and you share with the Bible, because it's an answer. So I'd just like to make a minute, and if we could pray for somebody that we know that might be in need, somebody that might need help. So what it says about Philippians 4:6 is, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank Him for what He has done. And His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus, the 3-in-1. We're celebrating a beautiful time coming up when Christ hung on that cross. And Resurrection Sunday is coming. Resurrection Sunday is coming. And up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because the 3-in-1 will answer in His time, and it's His plan. We forget about it. Well, I want it now, now, now. And He said, no. I've got other things going on with other people in your life that need to know to trust Me and to listen. So we're at the point, God had a plan. He is preparing you and I, us, every one of us, to endure and to trust Him. He is preparing us to follow His plan. I had a plan that I wanted out. And He said, no, you're going to dwell there for a while, because I haven't got the answer ready for you yet. That's why it took me 4 months to send there and another month after. So we are to be a living example and be ready to use, persevere, and endure. So as you look to your left and your right, behind you and all around you, everyone is special. That's the hope that we have. Our hope is built on the fact that God created us in His image. So as we celebrate, Father, we pause right now to thank You for Your word, the truth. Lord said, when you pray, I will answer. The answer is on the way. And opened up the word. There are 66 books that are living every example today. Like the song we sang, when the sun comes up and the sun goes down, God has a plan. He's just preparing you and I to be ready to receive it. And now that we receive the gift, we are to live as a living example. And God said, I will use you, I will care for you, and I will call others to come to Me. Listen. Listen. Jesus is calling right now. Amen.
Thank you, Gary and Eileen, for being with us. Pretty amazing, right? We sometimes think that we're in control of things, and the Lord says, I'm not finished with you yet. And so the 32 years that God has given, icing on the cake, right, to a believer in Jesus, it was because of Daryl inviting me to come to BSF and participating. Usually, you know, it's just lay people that do that. And so I was kind of incognito, but they let me come as a pastor, but just to be a brother. And that's where I met Gary, and I got to know through him also Eileen. And I know that he prays for me regularly, and that means the world to me. You know, when Gary was speaking, I thought of Psalm 121, which is a traveler's psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and there are plenty of us that will tell you where that help comes from. Let's rise as we are able for our Lenten hymn, Blessed.